This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer.
Today, I'm answering a question from a mom of two young kids, and I love hearing from you all, answering your questions from my listeners. So if you have a question, send it to support@yourvillageonline.com. Tiziana wrote in, and Tiziana, I hope I'm saying your name correctly. She says, I'm a mother of two, a four-year-old boy and a two-year-old girl from a tiny island in Malta. So I'm going to stop here for a second, and I want to just say how cool this is. Technology can be amazing, and I think it's so cool that I can create this little show out of my home in San Diego, California, and parents all over the world can listen. So thank you, Tiziana, for writing in, sharing with us, and trusting me to guide you and answer this question. I'm really honored. Okay, back to the question. Tiziana said, I discovered your podcast a couple of months ago, and I've been listening to it religiously every day. I always find your tips very practical and doable. Jade, my two-year-old daughter, is very intelligent, strong-willed, and brilliant. She is very advanced cognitively, and her speech is excellent for her age. However, she has been going through a hitting stage for about 2 months now. I've listened to most of the podcasts where hitting was mentioned, looking for an answer, and I know from your podcast that this is perfectly normal behavior for this age. Although she has hit me a few times, her hitting problem is focused on her brother. When I asked her teachers if any of this behavior was happening at school, they were surprised, even asked and only used words of praise about her. Yet at home, this is constant. I feel like a referee when they're both together, constantly having to rush in to stop her from hitting him. It is extremely frustrating as I can't get anything done. But at the same time, I feel the need to stop her to show her that this is unacceptable behavior. I tried to look into the reasons behind the behavior. Most often, she hits him when he takes something from her. She acts as if this is a personal attack and overreacts by immediately hitting him or grabbing his face. The weird thing is that even though she seems really bothered with him taking her stuff and hits as a reaction, a minute later, she could change her mind and give it to him willingly or simply throw it on the floor and play with something else. At other times, she simply hits him for no reason. He could be walking by and she immediately attacks him. And what worries me is that she makes a very angry face and grinds her teeth in anger. With regards to dealing with this behavior, I feel like we have tried everything. We tried timeouts, which obviously did not work. I'm currently following your advice of rushing in, helping my son first, and then help her to use her words. Explain that hitting hurts, and also ask her to play a bit on her own if she's not ready to play nicely with us. However, this is where I need your help. After doing this, I feel stuck. So if, for instance, she's playing with a toy and my son takes it away from her and she hits and I say hitting hurts, etc., just tell him that toy is mine and I ask her to practice a couple times. What should I say when my son still refuses to give it to her? When I make suggestions such as this toy is mine or I'm angry, she immediately copies me and she might also stomp her feet while doing so. But then as she sees that she did not get her way, she still hits or grabs him. What should I do in this case? Thank you in advance for your time and looking forward to your reply. Okay, I'm going to start with what's going on developmentally at 2. Then I'm going to give some guidance on how to manage these situations. Then I'm going to talk about Big Brother, what might be going on with him when he takes a toy and refuses to give it back, and how you can work on this as well. So, Jade is an early talker, which is great. When kids talk early, we often think they're further along developmentally in other areas than they really are. She may also be ahead emotionally, but she's still really early in her emotional social development. From the ages starting around 9 months to a year, up through the second year to 3, there's a development of the self. There's this huge push in the development of self, the sense of self, independence, and autonomy. This is when they realize, I am my own person. I have wants, I have needs, and they're learning how to express those needs. But the part of the brain that helps regulate emotions, that helps us process, slow down, and think about our feelings before we react, is in the very early stages of development. So toddlers realize that they're their own person, that they have ideas about what they want and how they want things to go, but not a lot of ability to deal with things when they don't go their way, when the tower falls, when the paper rips, when someone takes a toy. They also aren't able to recognize the needs or feelings of others very well yet, because they're still in the midst of developing their own sense of self and their own autonomy. That's the first step. This is the foundation. They start with their sense of self. Then once that is solid, then they can move on to the other, that other people have feelings, that other people's feelings could be different from my feelings. This is where they start to develop empathy, but this doesn't start to develop until around 3 to 3.5. At 2, we're working on the fundamentals of emotion skills and emotional intelligence. This is where you want to start, helping your daughter recognize her feelings and being able to label them, because this will lead to her having good emotion skills. Once we can label our feelings, once we know what that feeling is, then we can start to learn how to process it in a more pro-social way. Emotional intelligence is being able to recognize and then process our own emotions in adaptive ways. And then it's also being able to recognize the emotions in others. It's being able to process our feelings in the right time, in the right place, with the right person. So while you absolutely can work on these skills during and after these exchanges, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, you also really want to work on these during times of calm. One of my favorites was to read books about emotions. You want to have a nice collection, a minimum of 5, but 10 or more is great. You want to have lots of books they can pick from about emotions. Some of our favorites in my family when my kids were little, Todd Parr's The Feelings Book, When Wembley Gets Worried. I don't remember the exact name of this book, so I'm going to do my best, but it was something like Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, Very Bad, No Good Day, something like that. There's tons and tons of books about emotions that you can read with kids that are entertaining, they're interesting, but they help them learn about feelings, that everybody has feelings, and that their feelings are there to help us. A Google search will give you a great list of books, and you can put in, you know, books about emotions for kids 2 to 3, something like that. You'll get a great list that's age appropriate. But you don't just want to read the story. You want to have a discussion along with it. Ask your child about a time they felt the way the character's feeling. Ask them what they think the character should do in this situation. Share a time you felt that way and what you like to do when you have that feeling. All of these build emotional intelligence. They let your kids know that these are very normal, that everyone has these feelings, and that we all have to learn how to process, work through them. It lets your kids know that you have hard feelings too, and how you work through your hard feelings. Talk about different places we feel feelings, different feelings in our bodies. Do you feel it between your ears, in your throat, in your chest? Maybe that's your upper chest by your heart or lower chest down near your solar plexus, in your stomach, in your fists. Where we feel something is a big indicator of what that feeling is that's coming up. When you feel angry, where do you feel it? When you feel sad, where do you feel that? When you feel excited, when you feel scared, talk about where you feel things. A lot of times when kids get mad, maybe they'll feel it right between their eyes, or some kids will feel it in their fist, or all kinds of different places. When you feel scared, a lot of times we feel it in our throat, right? That's why we talk about that lump in the throat. Fear will come up that way. We all feel it in different places. Sometimes people get anxious, they feel it right in their solar plexus. That's where I feel it. We want to talk about emotions as a very normal and healthy part of being human. We also want to talk about how there are what we call adaptive and maladaptive ways of sharing our feelings. Probably don't want to use those words. Those are big words. Because you also want to keep in mind that young kids don't have those skills yet, right? They don't have adaptive skills. We have to teach them those adaptive skills. So we might want to word it saying something like, there are better ways of sharing feelings. If they're engaging in sharing feelings in a way that aren't so good, that we want them to move away from, there's some better ways to share your feelings. Let me help you with that. Let's work on this together. While understanding it's a learning process for them, as we help them learn these skills during these quiet times and during conflict, they will build these neural connections, these neural pathways in their brain that will help them to manage their emotions well, to gain these emotional intelligence skills. And these pathways will get stronger the more that they practice, right? So once they create the pathways, initially, they just get stronger the more that they use it, like any muscle. So we want to help them build these pathways of when I feel angry, here's where I feel it. I'm going to take some deep breaths. I'm going to go talk to someone. This is how I'm going to process it rather than just reacting. We're going to help them build those pathways. When you do this, it's really amazing to see how young kids can have some really incredible emotional skills and such emotional intelligence at young ages. And they can learn these just like they do anything else. These are, in my opinion, the most important skills for life happiness and success in all areas, academics, career, and relationships. Now, there are a few other ways to work on these skills during quiet times, and I have some tips for helping guide during exchanges. I'm also going to talk about the sibling aspect, what's going on here, right after a word from our sponsors. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge, but finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Now that we're back, here are a few more ways to work on feelings during calmer times. Listen to music. Put on different kinds of music. So put on one kind of music for, say, like 5 minutes. Have your child draw something that matches the feeling that they connect with that music. Then you could put on another piece of music. And maybe you want to do like 2, 3, 4 of these, depending on how old they are, depending if they're enjoying it. And this kind of helps them get in touch with feelings and how different sounds and different things can evoke different emotions in us. Talk about your feelings, the feelings from people you see out and about or from TV shows or movies. You see someone who looks happy or excited or visibly upset while you're walking into a store. I wonder what that person is feeling right now. What do you think? When they answer, you could say, what clues tell you how they might be feeling? When something happens during your day, you can share it. I was supposed to go to dinner with my friend Wendy tonight, but she had to cancel. And I'm feeling disappointed because I was really looking forward to that. I want to talk about adaptive versus maladaptive because I just brought that up before I move into working with your child in the moment, guiding them in the moment. Adaptive means appropriate or adequate adjustment to the environment or situation. So obviously maladaptive means an inadequate adjustment to the environment or situation. So adaptive tools are things like talking it out, taking time to process feelings through journaling, sitting down quietly and reading, a movement activity, listening to music, sitting quietly with a stuffed lovey, and be hitting a pillow or punching a punching bag. These would obviously fall under movement activities, but you get the idea. Maladaptive are things like hitting, yelling, throwing things, damaging toys, breaking toys. For adults, maladaptive are things like physical violence, yelling, especially more yelling like belittling, threatening, name-calling, not just a loud expression of frustration. That's normal. Like, I told you to put on your shoes, right? When you've been trying to get them to do something, they're not doing it, and you finally are just like, ah, I told you to do this, and you get frustrated. That's normal. It's not maladaptive. For adults, addictions are developed when we don't learn adaptive skills for handling our feelings, our struggles, our frustrations, drinking, using food as a way to soothe our feelings, exercise if it's used to escape feelings rather than work through them, gambling, overworking, shopping, anything that is used as a way to escape dealing with feelings. Obviously, none of these are bad. It's just in how we use them. So it's good to keep in mind and take an inventory of how you process your emotions or if you're using a particular activity or substance to run and hide from them. Just so you have an idea. Okay, so in the moment, it's harder to work with our kids when they're upset. It's hard to work with anyone when they're upset. It's hard for us to learn anything when we're upset. We don't learn well when we're upset. We're not in our logical minds. We're in our more reactive brain. So the first tip is to give guidance on calming down. When we help our children to calm down, we give them guidance, they will learn how to do this on their own. So we're still teaching them a skill. We're allowing them time to process their feelings in the way and the time they need. We're going to offer them adaptive methods for calming. I can see you're really upset that the paper just ripped that you were creating your beautiful drawing on. Can you take 3 deep breaths? Can you count to 5 backwards slowly? Or do you want to squeeze your teddy bear for a few minutes? Once you get calm, we can problem solve together. You're labeling emotions for them. You're reminding them what this feeling is. And because you're calm, this tells them this is normal, that we're just going to help you work through it. You're giving some options for how to find their calm. Then you can move into problem solving about how you could fix the paper, whether you could tape it back together. And then you can explain that rubbing so hard with a marker saturates the paper and it will sometimes make a hole. It's helping them with lessons learned so they can take it with them the next time. We're using empathy with it though. I know it's disappointing when you work so hard on a drawing and it rips. These lessons are hard, but you'll get better at recognizing how much marker is too much so that it won't happen anymore. There are so many great lessons in this. We're teaching emotion skills. We're teaching responsibility taking. We're teaching a growth mindset, right? How do I take a different choice so that I have a different outcome next time? So I want to get to the sibling piece of this because there's some things going on here underneath, and this is what's really going to help. So while Jade, the younger sister, is still early on in her development of emotion skills, Big Brother is still pretty young himself. He is at the beginning or developing empathy and likely has a bit more emotion skills. He hopefully by now recognizes his own emotions, can share them, beginning to recognize feelings in others, empathy, right? Because he's 4, so starting at 3 or 3.5, but 4 is still really young for empathy. We're super young in this process, right? It goes all the way up through about 9 or 10. By the time children hit 9 or 10, their sense of empathy should be fully developed. What I want to do is dig into some deeper feelings that are likely going on here because this can really help just understand the situation, why this is happening, first of all. And then it also helps you guide your kids based on understanding what's going on. So for little sister, I think there's some resentment going on. Big brother is bigger. He's stronger. He's more physically developed. He's more physically skilled. He has better fine motor skills and large motor skills. It's easy for him to take things from little sister. And he uses that to his advantage, whether it's to get a reaction out of her, whether it's to feel some power because he doesn't feel very powerful. She is an easy target. This dynamic is super normal, though. Everyone is trying to figure out how to get their needs met, their need for attention, their need for feeling powerful, whatever it is. So the hitting out of the blue, I believe, is her way of trying to take some power back from a previous exchange where she felt powerless or overpowered, right? So we need to address the feelings underneath first, because of course we want to set boundaries around hurting another person, but understanding that she doesn't understand that she's hurting him. She understands she wants to get even. And when she sees an opportunity, she's going to take it. So saying something like, "It looks to me like you have some pent-up anger against your brother, and we need to work through that. But hitting hurts, so we need to find another way." Now, once these exchanges get under control, right, when he's not taking stuff from her anymore, when she's not feeling powerless and trying to take power back, we just got this power thing going back and forth here. So we want to break that. Then we won't have this going on anymore. So how do we do that? I know this is hard, but it is a really big ask to have 2 really young ones at these levels of development play together nicely. You've got a 2-year-old with really almost no emotion skills yet. And then you've got a 4-year-old who's just getting some emotion skills. So they're really working with very little. The toddler is working on independent play. 2-year-olds are not good at collaborative play, at communication. It's just not in their awareness yet. On Big Brother's side, there could be some feelings of sibling rivalry or resentment. So when he sees an opportunity to use his physical size to his advantage and overpower her, he's using it. So keeping them separate unless you can be there to supervise their interactions is really the best course for the time being until their emotion skills are a little bit higher. So you can have one of them at the kitchen table to draw while the other is playing on the floor. You can have them swap after a certain amount of time. You can have one of them help you with what you're doing, whether you're doing something in the kitchen, you're prepping a meal. If you're doing something around the house that they can help with, you can have them help. Any way you can keep them separate unless you're supervising them while they develop these skills. It's going to make things smoother for everyone. It's going to limit these exchanges. It's going to limit feelings of resentment towards each other. When it comes to Big Brother grabbing a toy and you asking him to give it back, I would work on the empathy piece. I used to do this one when my kids were little. So I'll just say my oldest, when he would do something that would upset his little sister, right? I would say to him, look at your sister's face. How do you think she's feeling right now? Now, most of the time he would answer, oh, I think she's sad, right? And then he would feel bad. He was 4 at the time, she was 2 also. So he had that empathy. He had empathy pretty early and he would hand it back right away. But if he wouldn't answer, like I could see it on his face that he felt really bad. It was like this light bulb moment. But I would chime in. She looks pretty hurt or she looks pretty sad that you took her toy. Can you give it back, please? Almost every time this worked really well, he would hand it right over. If not, what I would do is invite your daughter to come do something with you. This connection with a parent is such a huge reward. Not that we're using it as a reward, right? We never want to withhold our time with our child as a punishment or to use it as a reward, but it just is. It's something that they crave. And so there's always so much positive to it. So our attention means the world to them. And I would just say, it looks like your brother is planning on keeping that toy right now. So why don't you and I go do something until he's done with it? Like go read together or make a snack. That's a big eye opener, right? For the older sibling. Like that did not go the way I planned. You just completely took the wind right out of their sails, right? It's not much fun to play with a toy that the other child doesn't even want anymore. That doesn't get him a reaction. That doesn't kind of, it doesn't take, he doesn't get the power that he was looking for. And now his sister gets to go do something with mom. So now, of course, if he wants to come and join in, absolutely, you know, you're going to let him join in. But it's the interaction where he didn't get the power he was looking for. It just makes it null and void. It's not a lot of fun. But then before you do that, before you have him join in, you're going to have a talk about taking toys away, how it makes her feel, how it's important that he treats her with respect and kindness. And those are really important values to your family. It really won't take long for that to stop happening. So I hope I answered this question fully for you. I wanted to say a couple more things. One is, oh, you talk about nothing happens at school, but it happens at home. Really, really common because we are very comfortable with our own family. So when we're in a situation where we're very comfortable, we kind of let our true colors come out. We let down our guard, right? We feel comfortable to let down our guard. We don't feel like we have to be on our best behavior. That's a positive thing. It says, I'm comfortable in my home. I feel safe in my home to let my guard down. And if I'm upset and I feel resentful, that I can go ahead and let it all out, right? That's a positive thing. There was one other thing, and I did touch on this, but I want to make sure that I touch on it specifically. Okay. Oh, you said she acts as if it's a personal attack and overreacts. So I think I answered this, but I just want to make sure that it's clear that that's how 2-year-olds are. Like they just react big because they have big feelings. Like she doesn't have a way to tell you exactly what she's feeling. Like a 2-year-old isn't going to be able to say, I feel disrespected because he just grabbed the toy from me. I feel like he doesn't respect me. She feels disrespected. And so she's going to react big. She's got big feelings. She doesn't have a lot of emotional awareness to be able to share it in that way, right? That's impossible for a 2-year-old to be able to say that. So it seems like she's taking it as a personal, it is a personal attack to her. She feels disrespected, which feels personal. So, and the only thing she knows how to do, it's going to be a quick reaction, right? Is, you know, I feel really disrespected and I'm little and I'm tiny and I'm angry. So I'm going to hit and I'm going to grab. So that's why that's happening. And that's why it's really important to only let them be together when you can be right there. If this is, you know, if this is a continuous problem, which it sounds like it is right now, but it will get better. Working with them in these ways that I've said will make this better. We'll get them to, you might be able to start actually having them sit and play near each other, around each other for short periods of time before too long. I also have a great class on siblings without rivalry and a birth order class, which are really great for helping facilitate really strong sibling relationships. Understanding how birth order actually affects the way that we develop, the way that we have relationships with others. Is really important. It's really helpful. And that's in the Thriving Families membership, along with the other 55 classes, so you can have all the tools to facilitate strong sibling bonds. I used these techniques with my kids when they were little because it was really important to me that they were as well connected as they could be. And that meant that I needed to be able to help facilitate that. Because there's such a shared experience between siblings and a bond that they are never going to have with anyone else. And I wanted to make sure I was doing everything I could to support that. So you can go to yourvillageonline.com for access to those and all 55 classes in the higher tier Thriving Families. There's also the lower tier Successful Parenting membership that has the 10 foundational classes for positive discipline, setting up healthy parent-child dynamics on the website, yourvillageonline.com. If you're interested in parent coaching, I do one-on-one coaching. You can check that out at yourvillageonline.com/coaching. I also do group coaching in the higher level membership. Also, we do that bi-weekly. So you can also get coaching by joining that membership. It's just not one-on-one. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.